Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Short.
And we're glad you're with us on this fine Sunday evening. And you can catch us here every Sunday on New Visions Radio at 7 p.m. Eastern Time.
Yes.
And Ed usually has to remind me of that. And it's really good to be here this evening. And we're going to continue where we left off 2 weeks ago. And I want to apologize in person because the reason we weren't here last week is my fault. My wife and I took a little trip. We were gone. I didn't get back in time for us to get in here and make a program. Right. So, we had Ray Powers rerun a program for us, and that brings us to some business. I want to thank Ray. We're really grateful for what he does for us, for being able, keeping us on the air all of these years, and we're just happy to be a part of the New Visions Radio family, and that he has carved out a spot for us here every week.
Right. We're just some small little ministry, and yet he's taken the time and given us this opportunity to share God's word with people.
Yeah, amongst all these different music people.
Yeah.
And so it gives people an opportunity to make a choice if they want to hear the word of God or not,
right,
amongst the music programming that goes on here. So we're really grateful to be a part of this family. And also, we just wanted to remind you that we have meetings throughout the week, don't we, Ed?
Yes, we do. We have a Bible study on Wednesday nights, and then we have on Saturday or the Sabbath, we have a Bible study at 9:30 in the morning, and then we have a regular worship service at 11.
And how do people find us if they want to view the Sabbath school and worship service?
Well, you can view online at prophecyhope.com.
Yes. And also, if you're interested in the Bible study, you can email us and just ask us for the link, and we'll email that to you. We do that via Zoom, and my email address is mark@prophecyhope.com.
And mine is ed@prophecyhope.com.
And sometimes people don't remember our names, and if that's the case, it's pretty easy to remember office@prophecyhope.com. That's a pretty generic. A lot of people have office emails, and that's how you would reach us. Also, we just want to let you know that each and every week we try to be here, and each and every week on Wednesday nights, that's at 7 p.m., by the way. I don't think we said that, and it's Eastern time.
Eastern time, yeah.
The other thing that Ed mentioned, and you've heard me say this week after week after week, but for the new listener, we do meet on Saturday, which Ed called the Sabbath day.
Yes.
And that's what the Bible identifies. We'll talk a little bit about that in this particular program.
It has everything to do with what we've been talking about on the previous study,
yes,
and about God's law, and we're going to continue that study today.
Absolutely. So we wanted to get those things out of the way and just welcome you there, and hopefully each Sunday you'll join us here at 7 p.m. on New Visions Radio. But before we get started, we always like to open with a word of prayer, and Ed, I'm going to ask you if you would do that for us, please.
Sure. Our Father in heaven, we're grateful to be here tonight to study your word. And Father, we just humbly ask for wisdom and knowledge as we study these things, dealing with your law. Father, may we recognize the words that are written on the page. May you give us understanding. May you guide us by the Spirit of truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. So, Ed, 2 weeks ago when we were here, we did a review. We talked about how Moses was given the commandments on Mount Sinai, and we found that in Exodus 20, and we read through those verses, and we kind of went from there to talking about the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, and we talked about the fact that the Old Covenant was written on stones, and we touched on the New Covenant being written in our hearts.
Yes.
And you talked about, you had mentioned something about the change. Would you just explain that for a minute?
Right. So there's a contemporary Christian song out there by Stephen Curtis Chapman, I believe, called The Change. And it really talks about, is my religion external or internal? You know, he talks about, I have this bracelet on my wrist that says, what would Jesus do? I have this cross around my neck. I carry a Bible. I have a bumper sticker on my car that says, honk if you love Jesus. But what about the change? What about the difference that should be making in your life? Mm. The way I live my life, is it changing because of my experience with Jesus?
That's right.
Is he pointing me to a better way of life? Or is it just all superficial with these external things that people see?
Yeah, so what we were talking about was the old covenant and the new covenant. They're not different in the requirements that God has for us. It's the location of that covenant. This is kind of where we closed last week. What's the difference?
Well, I'd like to address that word requirements.
Okay.
Because a lot of people view God's law as requirements.
Or restrictive.
As restriction. Yeah. They're for our benefit. They're a blessing to us. And so if people could understand that the God who created us knows the best way for us to live our lives, for our own happiness, for our own good.
Amen.
And part of that direction in God's word is the Ten Commandments.
Yeah, the word requirement, I guess, it does sound restrictive, doesn't it?
Yeah.
If I say the law requires that I do the speed limit, I like to drive fast.
Yeah, I know.
So that kind of sounds restrictive. But, you know, it's for my own good that those laws are put in place. It's not only for my safety, but for yours and those around me. And it's the same way with God's laws, with his commandments.
Right.
And today we're going to expand on that. We're going to talk about it. Now, 2 weeks ago when we looked at this, we found, and this is good to try to remember, the Ten Commandments are found in the book of Exodus, chapter 20. And it's if you read beginning in verse 1, it's actually Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17 is where you find those commandments. Now, we're not going to read through them again this week. You can do that in your personal study. And I always like to advise people, when you tune into this program, if it's possible, have your phone app open. You can download some free apps. There are a number of apps you can get that have the Bible on them. And they're really good resources.
Yeah.
Or have your Bible open. If you don't have a Bible, you can find them online.
Yeah.
There are free programs. One is called eSword.
Yeah.
And there's, what are some other ones I'm trying to think of?
You know, I use eSword. I started it with it years ago. I can download a ton of free Bible versions, and it has other resources as well. So that's the only one I'm aware of, but I know there's lots out there.
Bible Gateway, that's the one I was trying to think of, and that's free. What's nice about eSword is you can actually put it on your computer, on your laptop. So if you don't have internet service, you still have the ability to be able to look these things up. So I always like to advise people, don't just believe what we're reading. Open your Bible, open that Bible app, and look these texts up with us. Read along with us.
Right.
That's really important.
Yeah, it's important for you to see the words on the page. There's something about reading God's word, seeing the words on the page, that's more powerful than your eyes speaking to people.
Absolutely. So let's begin by, you know, I want to ask you a question, Ed. Who actually wrote the Ten Commandments? Who actually wrote them?
Well, God did. He wrote them with his finger in stone.
And this is what the Bible teaches us. Let's take a look at Exodus chapter 31, Exodus chapter 31 and verse 18. And Ed, tell us what translation you have and that you're looking at. He has a bunch of translations on his computer.
The one I use the most is the Modern King James Version, although I have a bunch of others that I use just to give me more insight. So Exodus 31:18 says this, "And he gave to Moses, when he had made an end of speaking with him upon Mount Sinai, two tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone, written by the finger of God."
Okay, so just to kind of lay a foundation, we touched on this last week. God's people had been taken into captivity, and they were taken by the Egyptian nation. And there they were. They were there for 430 years. So most of us are very familiar with the account of the Red Sea. If we don't know it from the Bible, we might have seen the movie called The Ten Commandments.
Right.
And so they had been in captivity for 430 years, and they come out of captivity. And now, here they are, God has to take away their indoctrination because they have been indoctrinated with all of these false beliefs.
Right, of the Egyptians.
Of the Egyptian people. Yeah. So now he's re-instructing his people. He had brought them out of Egypt, brought them through the Red Sea. They saw the 10 plagues, all of these things happen. It's really interesting if you haven't read those accounts. You can find that in Exodus. And here, what Ed just read is God, Who wrote them, and what did he write them on again?
God wrote them with his finger on a tablet of stones.
It says on tablets of stone. Yeah. Now let's look, you know, it's always good to have more than one verse. Let's look at Exodus 34:1. Ed, if you don't mind reading that.
All right. This, again, it's the modern King James. In verse 1 of Exodus 34 says, "And Jehovah said to Moses, cut out the two tablets of stone like the first, and I will write upon them the words that were in the first tablets, which you broke."
Can you explain that a little bit? Why does it say first and which you broke?
Well, apparently, after God had given Moses the Ten Commandments and actually verbally told them on Mount Sinai, that apparently the children of Israel were upset because Moses had been up on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights and wondered what happened to him. And so they created an idol out of gold, and they were worshiping that. And God told Moses, you better get down there and see what's going on. So when he came down the mountain and saw this, he threw the tablets of stone down and broke them,
wow,
the ones that God had just given him.
So that's what this verse is telling us. So God says to Moses, now you broke the ones that I gave you.
Yeah.
So now come back up here and you carve out the stone from the mountain.
Right.
But even though he did that, who wrote them again?
God did.
It was God that wrote them. So let's not forget this. You know, I want you to, those of you who are tuning in and listening, God himself wrote those Ten Commandments with his finger in stone.
Twice.
Yes. And so it's really important that we understand that. Now, also, just to drive home that he wrote them with his finger, Deuteronomy 9:10 from the modern King James says, "And Jehovah delivered to me," this is Moses writing this, "two tablets of stone written with the finger of God." So, again, keep in mind, the Ten Commandments were written by God in stone. Now, there's some confusion sometimes, and the reason why we're sounding this down, friends, is because I grew up, and many people grow up believing as I did, not just from the church I grew up in, but many churches believe that what we often call the law of Moses and the law of God, they believe that they're all one law. Now, they do go together, but the law of Moses, some refer to as the Mosaic law. Well, now, while we don't find that in the Bible, the word Mosaic law, we do find things that talk about a law being written in stone and a law being written in a book.
Yeah, it's called the Book of the Covenant.
The Book of the Covenant. So Exodus chapter 24 is where I think we should go next. And Ed, would you mind reading Exodus 24? And I think for now, I'll tell you what. Why don't we just begin in verse 1 might be a good place to begin.
Right.
So you just read and we'll just kind of talk about it as
All
we
right.
go along.
Verse 1 of Exodus 24, modern King James Version. "And he said to Moses, come up to Jehovah, you and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and bow yourselves afar off. And Moses alone shall come near Jehovah, but they shall not come near, neither shall the people go up with him. And Moses came and told the people all the words of Jehovah and all the judgments, and all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which Jehovah has said we will do."
Let's stop there for a moment. So we talked last week or 2 weeks ago, we mentioned how a covenant is a contract.
Yes.
It's an agreement between two parties. Was there an agreement here?
Yes, apparently whatever these words were that Jehovah had spoken to them,
which we actually find in chapters 21 through 23.
Yes, a great detail. They said that they would agree to do them.
Okay, so this is part of that covenant agreement.
Right.
All of this goes together. You know, we can't forget that. So they said, all the words which the Lord has spoken, we will do.
Yes.
So there's the signature, basically, right?
Right.
There's a verbal agreement.
Yeah.
So let's continue in verse 4.
Verse 4, "And Moses wrote all the words of Jehovah, and rose up early in the morning and built an altar below the mountain and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel.
Hold on. Who wrote this?
Moses wrote.
Who wrote the commandments?
God wrote them.
Okay. This is very important, isn't it?
But you have to remember that what Moses wrote down was simply a dictation from God.
Yes. It's just like if Ed says, if I'm a secretary and Ed says to me, Mark, write this down, and I write it down word for word what he says, now send that to so-and-so.
Yeah.
Well, I wrote it, but it's not my words.
Right.
It's Ed's words.
Right.
So this is what happens. God is like the word that Ed used. It was like dictation. He's telling him, write these words down, and this is part of the agreement, and they agreed to it.
Right.
Okay?
Let's read 5-7.
Okay.
And he sent young men of the sons of Israel, who offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of bulls to Jehovah. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant and read in the ears of the people. And they said, all that Jehovah has said, we will do and be obedient.
Okay, so if you want to know what it was they were agreeing to, it's found in Exodus chapter 20, verses 22 through 23:33. That's where you find those things if you read those chapters.
Right.
And that's where you'll find it. So the Ten Commandments were prior to this letter or this part of the covenant.
So what is this Book of the Covenant all about then? We know it's part of a contract.
Ah, this is very important that we understand this, Ed. So before we answer that question, we find this again later on in the Bible, but continue reading just through verse 8.
All right.
We stopped short there.
And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant, which Jehovah has made you concerning all these words.
Now, we find this referenced in the New Testament, and I think it would be good just to show the listener that this is mentioned in Hebrews,
okay.
And that's Hebrews chapter 9. In Hebrews chapter 9, let me see here. If I begin, I'm going to just begin in verse 1.
All right.
And it's a little bit of reading here, but it says here, then indeed even the first covenant had ordinances of divine service and the earthly sanctuary. For a tabernacle was prepared, the first part, in which was a lampstand, the table, and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary, and behind the veil, the part of the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all. So this is speaking of this tent or this building that Moses had to build later on.
A sanctuary. For a dwelling place of God.
Yes. And then in verse 4, let's see. Here we go. Verse 4, which had the golden censer and the Ark of the Covenant overlaid on all sides with gold, in which were the golden pot and the manna and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tablets of the covenant. And above it were the cherubim of glory overshadowing the mercy seat. Of these things we cannot now speak in detail. So we look through here, and I want you to see that I think it was here in verse... It was Hebrews 9, and I'm going to skip a lot, but in verse 19, it says, for when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water, scarlet wool, and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the covenant which God has commanded you. Likewise, he sprinkled the blood both on the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without shedding of blood there is no remission. So is this a reference back to what we were reading here in Exodus?
Yeah, it talks about the book.
It does.
Yeah.
It mentions the book. So there is a separation, it seems, somehow between this book of the covenant and the commandments that were written in stone. And that's what we need to discover. What's the difference? Well, let's go back to Deuteronomy. Let me see if this is where I want to go. Deuteronomy chapter 9, I think. And let's see, Deuteronomy chapter 9 and in verse 7. I think this is what I want to look at. In verse 9. It says, when I went up, well, I'll start in verse 7.
All right.
Remember, do not forget how you provoked the Lord your God to wrath in the wilderness from the day that you departed from the land of Egypt until you came to this place. You have been rebellious against the Lord. So, Ed, you mentioned a little bit ago that Moses was up on the mountain. This was after they came out of Egypt. And when he came down, they were worshiping this calf.
Right.
They were being rebellious.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then, can you pick up in verse 8 for me?
Sure. Also in Horeb you provoked Jehovah to wrath, so that Jehovah was angry with you to have destroyed you. When I had gone up into the mountain to receive the tablets of stone, the tablets of the covenant which Jehovah made with you, then I stayed in the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. I neither ate bread nor drank water. And Jehovah delivered to me 2 tablets of stone written with the finger of God. And on them, according to all the words which Jehovah spoke to you in the mountain, out of the midst of the fire, in the day of the assembly. And it happened, at the end of 40 days and 40 nights, Jehovah gave me 2 tablets of stone, the tablets of the covenant. And Jehovah said to me, arise, get down quickly from here, for your people, whom you have brought forth out of Egypt, have corrupted. They have quickly turned aside out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten image.
So there's the account that you were referring to.
Yes.
Isn't it best always to read it
yeah.
from God's word? So let's continue a little bit because this will add a little more detail.
All right.
Verse 13.
And Jehovah spoke to me, saying, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Let me alone, so that I might destroy them and blot out their name from under the heavens. And I will make of you a nation mightier and greater than they. So I turned and came down from the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire, and the 2 tables of the covenant were in my hands. And I looked, and behold, you have sinned against Jehovah your God, and had made you a molten calf. You had turned aside quickly out of the way which Jehovah had commanded you. And I took the 2 tablets and threw them out of my hands and broke them before your eyes. And I fell down before Jehovah as at the first, 40 days and 40 nights. And I neither ate bread nor drank water because of all your sins which you have sinned in doing wickedly in the sight of Jehovah to provoke him to anger. For I was afraid of the anger and fury which Jehovah was angry against you to destroy you. But Jehovah listened to me at that time also. And Jehovah was very angry with Aaron to have destroyed him. And I prayed for Aaron also at the same time. And I took your sin, the calf which you had made, and burned it with fire, and stamped it, grinding it very small until it was as small as dust. And I threw the dust of it into the torrent that descended out of the mountain.
Okay, so let's stop there. So Aaron is Moses' brother.
Yes.
And Aaron was actually a priest, wasn't
yes.
he? So as we look at this, this really filled in all of the gaps to the account that Ed was telling us about. He just read that. So now we have a clear understanding of exactly what took place. So now let's go to chapter 10. And Ed, would you read verses 1 through 3?
Deuteronomy 10,
yes,
1.
Yes, thank you, Deuteronomy.
At that time, Jehovah said to me, cut out 2 tablets of stone like the first, and come up to me into the mountain and make an ark of wood. And I will write on the tablets the words that were in the first tablets which you broke, and you shall put them in the ark. And I made an ark of acacia wood, and cut out the 2 tablets of stone like the first, and went up into the mountain, having the 2 tablets in my hand.
Okay, keep going through 5, please.
And he wrote on the tablets, according to the first writing, the 10 commandments which Jehovah spoke to you in the mountain out of the midst of the fire in the day of the assembly. And Jehovah gave them to me. And I turned myself and came down from the mountains and put the tablets in the ark which I had made. And there they are as Jehovah commanded me.
Okay, so far what we've discovered is that God wrote the commandments with his finger in stone. And then there was this book that who wrote in the book?
Moses wrote
in the book. Moses wrote in the book. And but it wasn't Moses' words.
Mm-hmm.
It was God's words.
Right.
Right? So we have these, we have words of God that are written by God on stone. We have words of God that were written by Moses in a book. It's very important that we understand this, because this is a point that, Ed, all of my life I missed this, and I didn't see it, and this was a life changer for me.
It's important to note that the people, when they heard the Ten Commandments, agreed to keep them.
Yes.
And when Moses read from the Book of the Law or the Book of the Covenant, they agreed to keep those as well.
They did. They did. And we're going to talk about, is there, what is the difference between what God wrote with his finger and what Moses wrote in the book?
Right.
Well, we will get to that. But this is really important that we lay this down, because, again, as we talked about 2 weeks ago, a lot of people think that the law was just wiped away.
Yeah.
And 2 weeks ago, we discovered it can't be.
When you say the law, you mean the Ten Commandments.
The Ten Commandments.
Yes.
Yeah. People think that it's done away. So we discovered 2 weeks ago that it was not.
No.
And so let's move along and let's see where these commandments, these two stone tablets, where were they placed? 1 Kings chapter 8 tells us where they were put. And it's actually in a couple of places in the Bible. Ed, I'm going to look up 1 Kings 8, and if you would look at 2 Chronicles 5:10.
All right.
And in 1 Kings 8 and verse 9, it says, there was nothing in the ark except the two tablets of stone which Moses put there at Horeb, when Jehovah made a covenant with the sons of Israel when they came out of the land of Egypt. So it says here in 1 Kings, nothing was in the ark except those stone tablets which God wrote. And what does it say there in 2 Chronicles 5:10?
It says, nothing was in the ark except the two tablets which Moses put in at Horeb, which Jehovah made a covenant with the sons of Israel when they came out of Egypt.
Okay. So the next thing that we have to answer, I just want to make it clear. What was in the ark?
At that time, only the Ten Commandments.
Right.
Initially, there were other things in the ark.
Yes. There were other things put in there. What were they? Do you remember?
They were a pot of manna.
Yes.
And the rod of Aaron that budded.
That budded, yes. Yeah. And so, but at this point, the emphasis we're putting on is not the manna or the rod, which have a pretty interesting significance,
right.
But that the fact that the stone tablets that God wrote were put in this Ark of the Covenant. And we kind of touched on it a little bit in Hebrews. It talks about that. Where was this Ark of the Covenant placed in the sanctuary, Ed? Do you recall?
Okay. In the sanctuary, the tent of worship, where God wanted to dwell among them, was the actual sanctuary itself was split into two portions,
mm-hmm.
The holy place and the most holy place. And in between, there was this veil that blocked the entrance into the most holy. It was in the most holy place where the Ark of the Covenant, with the mercy seat on top, where the Ten Commandments were put inside.
Yes. So this is very interesting to me. So now we need to determine, we've already determined who wrote this law of what people call the law of Moses. It's actually the law of God.
Yeah.
It's kind of a misnomer.
Right.
But, and they also call it the Mosaic Law. So we know that it was written, we discovered already it was written in a book, but let's, to sound it down a little more, let's figure out where it was placed.
Okay.
Let's go to Deuteronomy 31. And this kind of tells us both who wrote it and where it was placed. And remember, even though it was written by someone, it was dictated by God, as Ed mentioned. So Deuteronomy 31, would you read, 31, 24 through 26.
All right. And it happened when Moses had made an end of writing the words of this law in a book until they were finished. Moses commanded the Levites who carried the Ark of the Covenant of Jehovah, saying, take this book of the law and put it in the side of the Ark of the Covenant of Jehovah your God, so that it may be there for a witness against you.
So when I look at this, it says Moses wrote the words in a book. That's what it says in verse 24. And then in verse 26, it says, take this book of the law and put it, mine says, by the side of the Ark of the Covenant. Right. So we have the commandments that were written by the finger of God in the Ark. We have this book that was written by Moses at the side of the Ark. And then it says, by the side of the Ark of the Covenant of Jehovah your God, that it may be there for a witness against you. Now, is there anything in the Ten Commandments that are what you would say against us?
No, I think all the commandments are of our benefit. They're meant to be a blessing for us and those that keep them.
Yeah, we talked about that a couple of weeks ago. So again, and I know I'm repeating myself because a lot of people forget this. The Ten Commandments were written by the finger of God.
On stone
and put
in the Ark.
In the Ark. And the same verbiage that's used here in verse 26 where it says that it may be there as a witness against thee, it says in the American Standard Version. Well, what does that mean? That's used in the New Testament also. If you take a look, let me see here. If we go to Colossians chapter 2, Colossians chapter 2 in the New Testament. Did you have a thought, Ed? Something you want to say?
No, go ahead.
Colossians chapter 2, we'll see the same verbiage, a witness against thee. Here's what it says, and I'm reading this from the New King James. This is Colossians 2, beginning in verse 11. In him, that's in Christ, you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. We're going to get to that more in weeks coming as we speak about these covenants. Buried with him, that's with Christ, in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. We'll come back to this verse as time goes on. And then notice the next verses. And beginning in verse 13, and you being dead in your trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, that's with Christ, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Any thoughts there?
Oh, yeah, I have lots of thoughts.
Okay, let's hear them.
I understood these verses somewhat for most of my life. And just till recently, I had a light bulb moment go on. So when it says in verse 13, and you being dead in your sin and uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven all your trespasses. Mm-hmm. Well, how has he forgiven all our trespasses? By blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. I always wondered, what does it mean, ordinances against us, or the book of a law that was a witness against you? And if you read in Exodus, basically 21 through 23, mm-hmm. it basically has a more fine detail instruction in the law of God and the Ten Commandments.
Okay.
But it also gives you judgment or punishment or a legislative nature of it.
That's important.
That tells you if you do these things, this is what should be done to that person.
Yes.
So in that way, the book of the law was against you because there was this punishment against the person that was being disobedient to God.
Yeah. So what I hear you saying, Ed, is when I look at the commandments, it tells me you shall not kill.
Right.
I'm just going to pick a few. Right. You shall not steal. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not bow down to false idols.
Right?
But it doesn't tell me how to deal with the person that does those things. But this part of the law tells me the consequences behind doing those and what the actual consequences will be. If you steal, this is how you deal with it. If you commit adultery, this is how it should be dealt with. Those things are against us because now we've broken God's law.
So how were they nailed to the cross?
Ah, go ahead.
So when you understand the gospel story, Jesus died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins. And those sins are transgression against God's law. Mm-hmm. So instead of us bearing that penalty, which is death. The wages of sin is death.
Right.
He bore that on the cross. So in a sense, he took away that judgment that was in the book of the law or the book of the covenant.
He took it for us.
Yes, but it's more than that.
Okay.
Because we still have life to live.
We do now,
being raised into a new life with him, in verse 12 of Colossians 2, talks about that a little bit. We become obedient to God's law, the Ten Commandments.
Ah.
And if you're following his law, you're not breaking any commandments, there's no punishment, there's no judgment, there's no consequences for breaking the law because you're not breaking it.
There you go. So this is, we touched on this a little bit. We didn't go into that depth 2 weeks ago,
right.
But we looked in the book of Ezekiel and the book of Jeremiah at the fact that there would be a new covenant.
Right.
And this is what you're talking about,
right.
Ed. What's the difference between the old covenant and the new? How would you sum it up?
Well, the old covenant, you have God's law, the Ten Commandments,
mm-hmm.
and they're written on stone, and they were put in the Ark of the Covenant.
Right.
In a chest, let's say.
Yeah.
So in the new covenant, God says, I will write my laws, the same Ten Commandments, in your heart and mind.
You know, even though we looked at that weeks ago, let's look at that again.
All right.
Because I think now, for the listener, it's going to sound it down a little more. So where would we go for that, Ed?
You can go to Jeremiah. You can
okay.
go to Hebrews.
Why don't we go to Ezekiel. Let's look at all three of them.
All right.
Because there's nothing like emphasizing things, you know, repetition to get it sounded down. So which one would you like to go to first?
I have Hebrews 8.
Okay.
Open here.
New Testament. That's uh-huh. good. Hebrews chapter 8. And where do we find that? Is that in verse 7?
I'm going to start in verse 7, okay?
Okay.
For if that first covenant had been without fault, then no place would have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, them being the children of Israel, he said to them, Behold, days are coming, says the Lord, and I will make an end on the house of Israel and on the house of Judah, and a new covenant shall be, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day I took hold of their hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant, and I did not regard them, says the Lord. So here's what's wrong with the first covenant. The children of Israel did not continue in that covenant, and because of that, God did not regard them.
Right. That's right.
Verse 10, For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall not each man teach his neighbor, and each man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. And I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities I will remember no more. In that he says, A new covenant, he has made the first one old. Now that which decays and becomes old is ready to vanish away. Now people sometimes believe they're talking about the law of God, the Ten Commandments. It's not talking about that.
So what are we talking about?
He's talking about the contract.
The contract that was written in a book.
Yeah.
And why do you say that?
Because the people were unable to obey the contract, so God disregarded the people. But the law was part of that contract. It wasn't the contract itself. And
okay.
So the new contract, the new covenant, involves that same law, the Ten Commandments, except the location is different. God says, I'll put it in your hearts and minds.
Okay, so let's go back to where the writer of Hebrews is quoting. And my understanding is that he's quoting from Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 31.
Yes.
We read this a couple of weeks ago, but we're going to read it again. And in my Bible, I think I mentioned this before, it has a heading. My Bible has these little headings there, and it says, A New Covenant.
Yeah.
Right here in the Old Testament, it says that. And here's what it says. See if this doesn't sound familiar with what Ed just read. Jeremiah 31, beginning in verse 31. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law, he says, my law, right, in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And then it says, no more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and their sin, and I will remember no more.
So the first covenant, the law of God, the Ten Commandments written on stone, put in the ark,
yes,
they weren't able to keep. So how are they going to keep this new covenant? How does that work?
Well, he says here, I will write it in their minds and write it on their hearts. So what does that mean to you?
He instills it in us somehow. Now, I want to go to Ezekiel 36, because that gives us a hint, a clue about how this can happen.
All right.
And I want to read verses 25 through 27. And again, this is the modern King James Version of the Bible, starting in verse 25 of Ezekiel 36. And I will sprinkle clean waters on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from your idols, and I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. Mm. So not only does God put his law in our hearts and minds, but he puts his spirit in our hearts
okay.
and minds.
Okay, so I want you to take those words that I just said. Not only does he put his law into our hearts and minds, but he puts his spirit into our hearts and minds. Put that on a little hook in your brain, because in the weeks coming, we're going to come back to that.
Yes.
And we're going to refer back to this, because all of this goes together.
It is the gospel of Jesus Christ that most people don't talk about.
And we're going to be talking about that in depth in the coming weeks. And I know if you're familiar with this ministry, we've talked about this a lot. And the reason why is because these are points, what we're talking about today, about the difference between the law written in stone and what was dictated, where they were placed. Are they different? Are they separate? Are they together? And this part of the gospel, these things are what most Christians completely misunderstand.
Yeah.
And it's simply because many times we just go by what our church tells us.
Yeah, or your pastor tells you.
Or your pastor tells you, or some minister tells you. And we want to tell you, don't believe things because we say it. But look to the Word of God.
Yes.
Because we are finding it in the Bible. Believe what the Bible says.
Yes.
And so we're really going to sound this down in the coming weeks. So we're just giving you a little taste of what we're talking about when we're talking about this handwritten document, or this handwriting of requirements that was against us. Remember, if we're living within the law of God, then this handwriting of requirements that Moses wrote has no effect on us, because we're doing the things that are written in the commandments. We're keeping the commandments. The commandments are what God wants us to have in our minds and hearts. The handwriting is, if we step outside of that, these are the consequences. This is how it's to be dealt with. So just to sound that down a little further, I'm going to begin again in Colossians 2:13, and I'm going to read through. Did you have something, Ed, that you wanted to share? I'm going to read through verse 17. So here's what it says. Again, Colossians 2, beginning in verse 13. And you, being dead in your trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, that's with Christ, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Go ahead.
Okay, let's make it a little bit clearer how this is the gospel.
Okay.
I want to go to Luke chapter 22.
Okay.
This is the Lord's Supper, the Last Supper, communion service, memorial, depending on what your background is. You may have different names for
it. Sure.
I want to go from Luke 22, verses 18 through 20.
Okay. I'm there.
For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took the bread and gave thanks, and he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup, and having dined, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is being poured out for you.
Ah, that's what we're reading in Colossians.
Yes.
Okay. That makes sense, doesn't it?
So this is part of the gospel.
It surely is. It surely is. So again, it says that he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. So the next verse, Colossians 2:15, it says, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. So this is very interesting. So let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths. I put an emphasis on Sabbaths, plural, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ.
So let me ask you a question.
Sure.
It talks about food and drinks and Sabbaths. Do these words all go together?
They do. In fact, take a look at that verse again, verse 16, just what you just quoted from. So let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths. So it's interesting that, first of all, in context, this is speaking of the foods and drinks and of the festivals, the new moons, the Sabbaths associated with the feasts of the Old Testament.
And the new moon refers to the timing of when those feasts
absolutely.
Were.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. And so this is not speaking about the dietary laws, which existed before the law of Moses was there, before that book of the covenant, right? And the reason why I say that, just for the sake of those of you who are listening, is so many people think that so many things didn't come into place until Moses wrote them. A lot of people, as we've discussed in the past, believe the Ten Commandments didn't exist until Sinai. But the commandments have always been.
Yes.
And the dietary laws have always been.
Right.
And we know that because, and you can do this in your own research, we've talked about this years past, but in Exodus chapter 7, I believe it is, 7:1-3, I better look before I quote that. I believe it's Exodus chapter, or Genesis rather. I said Exodus, didn't I?
Yeah.
See, that's why it's good for me to look at this.
Talk about Noah.
Yeah, that's right. In Genesis chapter 1, or chapter 7, verse 1, it says, then the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. You shall take with you 7 each of every clean animal, a male and his female, and 2 each of every of animals that are unclean, a male and his female.
So it shows us that cleanliness and uncleanliness of animals was an issue back then as well.
Absolutely, and it was known by these people.
So these verses in Colossians 2:16 that talk about these things, and verse 17 says these are a shadow of things to come.
Yes, it does.
So they're representing what Christ would come and do, these feasts.
Correct.
Yeah.
They were all pointing to Christ.
Yeah, and as a grouping, these feasts were called Sabbaths.
Correct. Yeah. Because there were ceremonial Sabbaths. There were Passover Sabbaths. There were Jubilee Sabbaths. There were annual Sabbaths. There were all kinds of different ones.
Feast of Tabernacles.
Yes.
Feast of Trumpets.
Yes. Yeah. But the seventh-day Sabbath was established before sin.
It was established at creation.
Yes. So what's really important to understand, friends, is this. The Ten Commandments are eternal. They have always been. They had to be. In order for, if Satan was going to be pronounced as a liar for lying to Eve in the garden, a sinner from the beginning, then you shall not lie, or you must not bear false witness, had to be a commandment. But the Mosaic law, the law of Moses, we would say, came in because of sin.
Yeah.
It was unnecessary. All of these festivals and feasts were unnecessary if there had been no sin.
Right.
These things were added because this was how God had to deal with it now. We had to know the burden of sin. We had to understand what Jesus had to come and fulfill, what he had to come and do in order to take that sin away. And all of these things pointed to that. So when we read in Colossians, and you know, a lot of people like to go to Romans, and I just want to touch on this because there's a reason why this is so important, and we're rapidly running out of time, and I won't be able to go into all of it, so we'll continue next week in some of this. But go ahead, Ed. Did you have a thought?
Well, just summing up Colossians 2.
Yes.
When we read that, that the blotting out of handwritings of ordinances was against us, which was contrary us, and has taken it out of the way, nailing it to the cross, it's talking about the consequences of disobedience. Not only that, but that sin would no longer have dominion over us, as we find in Romans chapter 6. And we'll I'm sure, go there eventually.
Yes.
And so in verse 12 of Colossians 2, it talks about being buried with him in baptism and being raised into a new life in Christ. That's what Romans 6 talks about. Again, the gospel is so cohesive.
Yes.
You know, and part of this new life is having God's laws written into your hearts and minds. Mm. This new covenant, having the Spirit of God in our hearts through his Son, Jesus Christ.
You know, Ed, my experience has told me, and this is kind of how I grew up. You and I come from different backgrounds.
Right.
And how I grew up is, you know, it didn't come down to, if you were to ask anyone in my church, are the Ten Commandments still intact? They would say, well, of course.
Yeah.
But it really boiled down to, in my church, it was only one commandment.
Mm-hmm.
They would say, well, if you go through the commandments, you could name 9 of them. And they would say, well, yes, of course that exists. Of course this one exists. But it all boiled down to the Sabbath.
The fourth commandment.
The fourth commandment. That's the one that they say no longer exists. And a lot of times they use this text here in Colossians 2:16 to say that. But again, looking at that, as you pointed out, let no one judge you in food or in drink or in regarding a festival or new moon or Sabbaths. They were established because of sin.
Yeah.
But the seventh-day Sabbath was there before sin.
Right. You got to remember that the first four commandments and the Ten Commandments were how to worship God, how to love God.
Yes.
The second half of the last six were how do we love our neighbors as ourselves.
And those are the two greatest commandments
yes.
that Jesus gave.
Right.
2 weeks ago. And you know, this is kind of a not only a review of 2 weeks ago, but this is expanding on that because so many people say, well, I don't have to keep the 10 because Jesus only gave 2.
Right.
But in those 2, what was he doing?
It's really just compacting
yeah.
the Ten Commandments.
Yeah, he just simplified it
yeah.
for us. Made it very simple. If I'm going to worship God, I'm going to keep the first 4. If I'm going to love humankind as myself, I'm going to keep the last
right.
6 commandments.
And it's important to go to God's Word and to study it, compare Scripture to Scripture. Don't just take a verse here and there. Study it in context and
wow.
see what it's talking about.
That's a mouthful, Ed, and you're exactly right. And this is, you know, all of my life, I would use the verses that I'm pointing to now. And this is why I'm so passionate about this. I would use these verses to say, I don't have to keep the Sabbath.
Yeah.
But that's like saying, well, I don't have to not worship a false god.
Right.
We're not saying that the Sabbath is any more important than any of the other
right.
commandments. But it just happens to be one of the commandments that seems to be most neglected
right.
by many Christians. And it's sad. Go ahead. You were going to say something.
Yeah, it's, you know, I grew up in a church where I grew up keeping the Sabbath all my life.
Right. I did not.
Now, it's a very big blessing in my life.
Mm.
But, of course, doing that, I was considered odd or different
mm-hmm.
from the rest of the Christian community because they did not believe in keeping the Sabbath. They said it's been done away with and so on, as we've been talking about today. And so many people will say, well, this is what my pastor says. This is what my church teaches.
That's right.
But none of these people go to the Word of God, the Bible itself, and to read the words on the page for themselves to find out what it says. So they don't put their faith in the Bible. They put their faith in what their pastor says or what their church teaches. And I'm telling everybody listening now, don't believe it because we say it.
Amen.
Don't put your faith in us. Go to the Word of God itself. See for yourself. make it your own faith, your own understanding, not ours.
Amen. And you know, these are things that initially are not easy.
No.
And nobody's going to try to tell you they are easy. But as we study, you'll see how it can become part of you.
Yes.
Right? As we study these things.
You know, studying God's Word sometimes can seem overwhelming. But claim the promises of God's Word. James chapter 1 says, if you lack wisdom, ask God for it. He'll give it to you liberally. If you seek wisdom and knowledge of God's Word, just claim that promise.
Amen.
In John 16, Jesus says, I'll send you the Spirit of truth to guide you into all truth. Mm. Claim that promise.
Amen.
And study the Word of God and see what God reveals to you in His Word.
That's so important. And if you feel like, well, I lack faith, or I have something that I need to overcome that I can't overcome, ask God. Pray about it.
Yes.
Pray about it. And you're, in the coming weeks, you're going to be so encouraged to see how God can help you to overcome these things. We're not left alone, folks.
Right.
So many times we think it's overwhelming. You know, we might look at the Ten Commandments and we might say, well, you know, I have a live-in relationship. I'm not married. I don't know if I can deal with this. I don't know if I can't separate from this person. They don't want to marry me. Well, there are ways that God will help you with this situation.
Right.
And I know from experience as far as the Sabbath with my business, with my job, how God can work in your life. He works miracles. And so I hope that's a little encouraging. I wanted to drop on an encouraging note.
This is very exciting once you delve into God's Word and see what great blessings God has in store for you. The promises of His Word can change your life.
And it really is. And next week, we're going to pick up on were the commandments changed somehow?
Yes.
Have they ever changed? So that's we're out of time, and we have to close with a word of prayer. So let's bow our heads together. Father in heaven, we're just so grateful for your word, the Bible. It's such a blessing to be able to take time to open your word and just see what it says on the page. Father, we just ask that we can make these things a part of us, that you will help each one listening to be able to recognize that you are the true God and that you have a plan of salvation put in place for them and a way to overcome anything that may prevent us from doing your will. We ask that you will be with us until we come together again, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So, Ed, this has been a blessing to me, and I'm sure it has been to you. And friends, we want to invite you back next week right here on New Visions Radio. And until then, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.